today is a very special feast day in the sense that, especially for those that have a devotion to St. Louis Marie de Montfort, and I'm a part of an organization called the Legion of Mary, and the Legion of Mary really has as a spiritual foundation the spirituality of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. And so I'm missing it today. The bishop is down in Nebraska City. We're actually hosting it this year, and I'm not there because I'm on retreat. But the bishop is down today for the, it's called the Acheus. And the Acheus is it's kind of the gathering of all the members of the Legion of Mary throughout the diocese. And whether they are active members or members of the, what are known as auxiliary members, are all invited to the special day. And the reason that, again, for me personally, that this is a very beautiful day is that when I first started the seminary, one of the other seminarians, he said to me, he said, do you want to do the total consecration of St. Louis Marie de Montfort? And I'm like, sure, what is it? And he said, well, you have like this, it's like a 33-day preparation period, and you have these prayers that you say every day. And at the end of it, you make a consecration to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I said, it sounds difficult. Count me in. You know, I was full of new seminary and zeal at that time. And so the harder that it sounded, the better off that it would be. And so I started I did the consecration, and we together we made the this other seminarian and I, we made the consecration on the feast of the Assumption on August 15th. But over the years, I've come to just a deeper understanding of what that total consecration means, of belonging to Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and giving ourselves completely to Him. And in fact, when I was in college, or when I was in the, in doing my graduate work in theology, at St. Charles Seminary, my master's thesis was on the theological foundation, the theological principles of the total consecration of St. Louis Marie de Montfort, and so it's been very special for me. And the reason that this day was so special for St. Louis Marie de Montfort, and that he encouraged those that do the total consecration to remember this day in a special way, was because this feast of the Annunciation is really the feast of that holds together the two mysteries of Jesus and of Mary in a unique and special way, where we really see the importance of that relationship. And we have this gospel of the Annunciation here today, where we have the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph. So I'm sure we've all heard this, you know, many times before. And coming to her, he says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And my Greek pronunciation is not real good, but it's Kyrie Maria. Okay, so what he's saying, what the angel is doing is he's greeting Mary as the one who is already filled with the gift of God's life. And so Mary is kind of like, who, me? Most of us would be kind of like, hey, glad you finally noticed. But he's greeting her as one who is already full of God's life, full of grace. Mary has already been, as the Immaculate Conception has already, you know, she was conceived without sin. She was already filled up with God's life. So Mary, she's greatly troubled. She's kind of pondering, what sort of greeting this, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Pondering what sort of greeting this might be. Angel says to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And behold, you conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there be no end." So Mary, again, not sure exactly what he's talking about, questions him. How can this be, since I have no relations with a man? And it's thought in the tradition that Mary had already made the decision to give her life completely to God as a virgin, that she did not intend to consummate a marital relationship. And so kind of wrapped in this question is she's asking God, is there something about the vow that I've made already that is not pleasing to God? But the angel clarifies. He says, no. What you're doing is absolutely correct. Because it's the Holy Spirit that is going to overshadow you. And the power of the Most High will come upon you. And the child will be born called holy, the Son of God. So it's not, this child is not going to have a human father. This child is going to have a divine father, God himself. And as a sign that what I'm speaking to you is true, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son, she who is fairly advanced in years. And this is a sixth month for her was called blessed, for nothing will be impossible for God. And then here the key. Because this is what connects the two mysteries of Jesus and of Mary. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done unto me according to your word. Fiat voluntas tua. May it be done unto me according to your word. So Mary, in faith, believes in the word of God. She believes in the word that has been spoken to her. And so as such, Mary, believing in the word of God, conceives in her heart, as Pope John Paul II says, she conceived in her heart and then she conceived in her womb. Do you understand the amount of faith that one has to have to believe and then to conceive? Jesus says, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be uprooted and it would be moved. The greatness of faith that she needed to conceive the eternal word of God is more faith than you need to move a mountain. Because that's definitely a lot more difficult. The depth of her faith and the purity of her heart where she was able to believe in what God had told her. She was able to believe in the promise of God. That faith enabled her then to conceive, and she was a cooperator in a human way with the plan of God. So that Mary's yes, again, it's only through the power of God, but Mary's yes, in a human way, brings about the incarnation, opens up the gateway of salvation for all of us. May it be done unto me according to your word. Fiat. Mary accepted in that moment everything else that would go along with the incarnation. And granted, when you have a new child, when you have a new baby, there's joy, there's hope, there's love, there's all of those good things. But what else? So, after Jesus is born, fast forward a little bit. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of two turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Messiah of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So, Mary, in her role as the mother of the Redeemer, as the mother of God, as the mother of Jesus Christ, he's prophesying that she too is going to share in that redemptive work, that she has already shared in it, but she will continue to share in it and continue to cooperate in that grace. If you look at the Greek, where it says, "and you yourself," it says, remember that word that we used yesterday, psuche? "And your psuche," the interior, the core of your very being, your heart, will be pierced by a sword. As we reflected on yesterday, it is that heart of Jesus that is pierced. It is that heart of Jesus that is rent open, that exposes, that reveals to us the love of God. And so Mary, in the purity of her love, in the purity of her heart, in the purity of her faith that is part and parcel of who she is, cannot be separated from the work of the Son, cannot be separated from what Jesus is doing. And so when his heart is ripped open, her heart is ripped open as well. As Jesus is completely exposing to us the love of the Father and is sharing with us the gift of that love, Mary's motherly heart is ripped open, and the depth and the profundity of her love is exposed for us as well. Let's go back to the foot of the cross. What happens just before Jesus dies? Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother, the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. And after this, aware of everything that was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." And there was a vessel with common wine, so they put the sponge and soaked it on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. And when Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he handed over his spirit. And then we get into what we read yesterday. Now, since it was a preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, because the Sabbath of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken, that they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of first one and then the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. When that lance was thrust into the side of Jesus, and it opened up, and the blood and the water flowed out of his love and mercy for us, because he was dead, Jesus did not feel that. But standing by the cross was his mother. And not only to see your son brutalized and ravaged and reviled and scorned, you better believe that Mary felt that in her immaculate heart. And the purity of her heart enabled her to feel it at an even deeper level. And a maternal love and a maternal heart was ripped open by that invisible sword of love. Because it is that love of Jesus that flows through her to us as our mother that enables us to realize that we too are that beloved disciple. That when Jesus says to her, "Mother, behold your son, son, behold your mother," Jesus is speaking to all of us as his beloved disciples. How do we respond to that cross? How do we respond to that suffering? How do we respond to getting ripped open? I don't know about you, but me, I want to run away and hide. And if I can't get away from it, usually I just lay down underneath the cross and say, "Lord, let me die." How does Mary respond in faith to suffering, to the cross? To being vulnerable and to being ripped open. What does she say today? "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done unto me according to your word." Mary does not stop believing at the incarnation. But even at the foot of the cross, Mary is believing, not knowing how and what purpose God is fulfilling through this death, but she believes. And it is her belief that enables her to be united to Christ in his suffering, in his death, to be ripped open. That sword that passes through the very core in the interior of her being, her heart. For what purpose? "And you yourself a sword will pierce so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." In the Immaculate Heart of the Virgin the sword that opens her heart, the sword that opens the heart of her son, is for us the key to our healing. Because Mary, in her great love for us, has experienced the sorrows of our heart. She has experienced, and she knows, because she knows what suffering is, she knows what sorrow is. She knows what it means to be ripped open and to be laid bare completely. This is the love that our mother has, not only for her divine son, but this is the love that the mother has for all the children who will be begotten in and through the son. Because when we are wounded, when we've experienced those wounds of our life, we don't know where we can go. We don't know where we can trust. We don't know where there's a safe place. But because their hearts have been pierced, because the heart of Jesus and the heart of the Blessed Mother have been pierced, we have a place where we can go to be healed. We have a place where we can go to reveal our own hearts. The depth of our shame, our guilt, our sin. And they say to us, not we don't want you. They don't say to us, we reject you. They say, come to the font of life and come to the font of mercy that flows through the heart of Jesus. And be healed. Don't be afraid to open up your heart and to receive the gift of his love. Don't be afraid to show those wounds. Because through the grace and power of Jesus Christ, we are made new, we are made holy, we are made pure. The Virgin is pure. She's holy, and that is why she can open her heart to Jesus. Jesus says to us, bring your guilt, bring your shame. You know, so often we think that, okay, I have to do this or that or the other thing, and then God can love me. If I do this or that, the other thing, the other penance, then God can love me. Or if I do this or that, the other thing, I can make up for that sin. No, we can't. It's a gift. It's a free gift of love. Bring your sin. Bring your shame. I'm not saying it won't hurt. But when the divine physician inserts that sort of love into our heart to open it up so that we can get out all that disgusting filth and rotting decay to cleanse it with his life-giving love and mercy and to purify it, it's hard. One of my parishioners, he was in Mexico, and he was involved in an accident, and they sewed him up, but they didn't clean out the wound. It got infected. And he was on all kinds of different medicines and things like that, but they couldn't heal the wound. It was healed over, but inside it kept oozing.
And there was this disgusting stuff that would come out of the wound. So they had to go in and they had to take him into the hospital and they had to have him in surgery. What did they do? They opened it up. They cleaned it out. They left it open for 6 weeks. And each day, they'd clean it. And it was painful. But eventually, he began to heal from the inside. And now he's been able to, he still has a scar, but he's been able to make a full recovery. And if he hadn't been treated, yeah, he would have probably, that toxicity would have gone to his whole system. He would have died. Come to Jesus and let him open your heart. Because the merciful love of the Blessed Mother will be there to support you, to help you, to guide you, to lead you, to nurse you back to health. He doesn't just open us up and throw us away. But that divine hospital, that divine healing center of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary is what enables us to be made whole.
What if somebody finds out what I'm really like on the inside? So what? Isn't it better to live in the freedom of truth than to live a lie? Fiat. Can we say with Mary, may it be done unto me according to your word? So this is why we need her help. We need her grace. We need her intercession. Because her yes and her acceptance of the gift of divine mercy in the person of Jesus Christ, that can be our yes. Our yes is taken up into her yes. So that we can say, Fiat, may it be done. May it be done unto me according to your word. Jesus wants to heal us. He wants us to show us his grace. He wants to show us the gift of his love. Let us pray for that faith, to believe in his promise, to believe in his word, and to believe in the love of the Blessed Virgin. And that with her help, we can truly say to him, just as she did, Fiat.